You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hi, welcome to Breakpoint. I'm John Stone Street. During this Christmas week, we're going to take a look back at some of the most important Breakpoint commentaries of the past year. Not that long ago, at least culturally speaking, someone, known throughout the world for being quite neighborly, said some things that most likely would get him fired today. Believe it or not, he said those things on public television. Yes, I'm talking about Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He often performed songs that he wrote to address issues that confuse children or cause them to struggle. One of those songs was called Everybody's Fancy. He hoped to help children love and value their bodies and to respect other children too. Take a listen to Mr. Rogers.
Boys are boys from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls can be the mummies. Only boys can grow up and be the daddies. Yes, sir, everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine.
Now, can you imagine someone saying these same things on PBS today? In fact, just last year in a segment from the Let's Learn TV series, PBS stations across the country featured a drag queen, someone who goes by the stage name Lil Miss Hot Mess. He was singing lines from his book, The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, Swish, Swish. It was to the tune of The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round. And the most obvious takeaway here is that any trust that previous generations of parents and kids once had for public television has long ago been squandered. A second takeaway is just how quickly some ideas have shifted from being unthinkable to unquestionable. Therefore, we should doubt anyone who tries to gaslight us into thinking that we're somehow regressive bigots for believing things like male and female are realities built into human nature. As an ordained Presbyterian minister, Rogers viewed the world in a noticeably Christian way. Though he didn't often discuss his faith publicly, his dedication to and concern for children was in very real ways Christ-like. For example, Rogers did not avoid difficult subjects if he believed that kids needed to talk about them. Everybody's Fancy was Rogers' way of teaching children that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. For Rogers, that also included, and this is important, talking about the human body as something good, as something worth appreciating and caring for. Mr. Rogers even taught children that one of the things that made their bodies special was that they were gendered, and that that gender had significance for who and what they would become later in life. As he said, only boys grow up to be daddies, only girls grow up to be mommies. What he's saying then is no less obviously true now, and it's absurd to suggest that Mr. Rogers was some hate-filled bigot for holding these views. No, it's those who tell children that their fancy bodies may in fact be the wrong bodies and may be in need of social, chemical, or surgical alteration, they're the ones that are living in the land of make-believe. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Shane Morris. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, please go to ColsonCenter.org. Hi, this is John Stone Street with Breakpoint. I've got some exciting news for Breakpoint listeners who share our mission of equipping Christians with the clarity, confidence, and courage they need to have a courageous faith in this cultural moment. For the final weeks of 2023, a $50,000 matching gift opportunity has been provided by a generous donor. That means that your gift will be doubled when you support the Colson Center before December 31st. So please partner with us to equip more Christians in 2024. Gift today at ColsonCenter.org/December. That's ColsonCenter.org. /December.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Many people get in a rut, and you go through life boring everybody to death and even boring yourself to death. And you can't justify being alive, breathing air, consuming goods, loving me, my, and mine, and that's about it. Are you in a rut? Has fire gone out of your life? God is like a fire, and when God comes in a life, He burns all the way that which is extraneous, and He gives us life and purpose and direction.
The truth is, God wants to set your heart on fire. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Stuck in a Rut, and encourages you with practical ways you can grow your passion for God and make every day count. Stay with us and hear more from Dr. Young on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a $75,000 challenge grant some friends of The Winning Walk have offered to help more people walk with Christ in the year ahead. This exciting challenge means your gift today will go twice as far to help The Winning Walk close out the year on the strongest possible footing, ready to share more proven truth with people far and wide in the coming year. So please call today to help meet the year-end need, knowing that the impact of your gift today will go even further to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping proclaim the gospel to more people in 2024. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now, you can also follow your favorite program on X, formerly known as Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Stuck in a Rut.
Ladies and gentlemen, I decided a long time ago that I was going to burn up and not rust out. But I can tell you, there's a lot of people here who haven't made that decision. I know so many folks, they may be 25 or 95, but they've just given up on life. You know, they have the idea that, well, I have put a do not disturb sign on my door, and I'm going to continue to live the way I'm living. And you go through life boring everybody to death and even boring yourself to death. And you can't justify being alive. Breathing air, consuming goods, loving me, my, and mine, and that's about it. Many people get in a rut. On the Alaska Highway, there's a sign up there that says, choose your rut carefully because you'll be in it for the next 200 miles. Are you in a rut? Has fire gone out of your life? By the way, you know what a rut is. It's a grave with both ends kicked out of it. And when people begin to say, well, I guess my life is over. I'm just going to live my life just like this, and I'm not going to change. When is the last time you launched out into something that you'd never done before? When is the last time you stood up and said, I want to volunteer to move in this area? How many times have people asked you to move out of your comfort zone and you'd said, you know, I've never done that before. I just don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, you have lost fire in your life. What is fire in the Bible? It's used for many things, but primarily it is a metaphor for God. God is like a fire, and when God comes in a life, he burns all the way that which is extraneous, and he gives us life and purpose and direction. Have you lost your way? Are you confused? Are you, in a sense, caught up in slavery? This is just the way it is. There's no hope for me. I can't change. I was in the Bible Museum about 3 weeks ago in Washington. And the man who put it all together took me into a section there, and he was showing me literally thousands of Bibles. And he said, look at this shelf. These are Bibles. These are Bibles that the plantation owners had printed for slaves. I said, boy, that's interesting. And here's these slave Bibles. The owners of the slave had them printed for their slaves. And I said, what's the difference in this Bible than all the other Bibles. He said, well, the slave owners had the book of Exodus left out. Didn't want the slaves to know that God sets people free. God intends for people to be free. But I can tell you, you're in a special kind of deadly slavery right now if there is no fire of purpose in your life. We've been studying Solomon. He's let us walk inside his life. This may have been his memoirs, it may have been his autobiography, it may have been his spiritual journal, but you have to be thrilled when somebody just opens up and says, this is the thrust of my life. And all the way through, he's talked about uselessness, meaninglessness, all of life makes no sense, has no purpose, everything is vanity, vanity, vanity. And if you've been studying with him, we're about worn out. But now, toward the end of the book, chapter 11 and chapter 12, Solomon lets us in on something that he's kept pretty well subdued, because he's looked at life simply from a horizontal perspective, and now he lets us know that he does believe in God, who came from above the sun down where man lives. He begins to let us see that he is a theist, that he is at least a believer in the true and living God. And then he comes to chapter number 11 of Ecclesiastes. You know what he tells us? He says, this is how you can put the fire of God in your life. If that fire has gone out, if you don't wake up in the morning and hear the sound of the trumpets any longer, let me tell you something. I wake up every morning and I wake up Winston, and I sing, this is the day the Lord has made, and he's never once complained. Is that your life? Do you hear the sound of the trumpets in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with purpose? Is there fire in your belly, to say it theologically? Solomon says, this is how you can put fire in your belly. And he gives us four Proverbs. He's a master of Proverbs. He's written that book. And I want you to listen to these Proverbs. And if you're sort of fed up with life, you know, you're caught up in the same old, and it's sort of ho-hum, and I'm going to hang in till the end. And you always say, well, I can't do that because, you know, I'm older now, and I don't stay up on things like I used to. Now, let me tell you something. I stay away from people like that. I run from them because they've lost the light of God and the fire of God in their life. By the way, there are four or five stages of life. There's infancy. There's childhood. The teenage years. Then there is the young middle years. And then there's middle age. And then there's old age. And then there is a you sure look good time. But in whatever category you find yourself, so many people, I see young people and there is no fire in their life. I look at their eyes and their eyes are glazed over. There's no real purpose and they don't understand the meaning of life. Solomon says, you want to keep fire in your life? He tells us exactly how to do it with four Proverbs. Look at them. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, and you will find it after many days. What is that? You cast your bread, your life, your means, and just throw it out on the surface of waters. Let me tell you, you take bread and put it in a plastic container, and it'll mold. You put it in the refrigerator, and it'll become dry. I've discovered that in recent days. And so what do you do with bread? Solomon says, you want to keep fire in your life, you just cast it out on the water. And you'll be amazed what will happen. It will come back to you many days later, buttered, I believe. And some people, they're so close. He's talking about living a life that is generous. Somebody says, make all you can all you can, and sit on the can. In other words, don't share. Don't become generous. But Solomon says, just cast your bread on the water. By the way, this is another way of expressing the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. What does that mean? It means whatever you need, that's what you give. Does anybody here have any need? Do you have anything you want? Are you down? Or what do you need? Need somebody to encourage you? Guess what? Encourage others. Bread or water, it'll come back. You need anybody to listen to you? Go listen to somebody else. And don't make your conscience, just listen. You listen to somebody else, you'll be amazed. You'll find somebody that'll listen to you. That's the golden rule. It's not those that have the gold rule, I've heard that. No, it's whatever you need, that's what you give. And it comes back. And sometimes it comes back in different forms. Cast your bread, your life on the water and watch what happens. With his permission, I'm going to tell you the story of Ed and Nina Hendy. Ed Hendy had a little restaurant in the Memorial Drive, way up on this side of Memorial Drive. He and his wife ran it for many years, just moderately successful. And they decided they wanted to expand their restaurant and build a bigger one. They had that dream. So for 2 years, they presented to 6 different banks what they needed in a loan to buy property and to build a restaurant. They were turned down by 6 banks. The banks were wise. They didn't have the collateral. They didn't have the backing. There's no way they deserved the loan they were asking for. And so they were rejected. Until finally in 1990, he went to another bank, and amazingly so, the bank granted the loan. And when they went in to consummate the deal, a young man came out and said, Mr. Hendy, you don't remember me, but when you at 24 years old were manager of the Steak and Ale, I was a busboy and I washed dishes. And he said, you always were respectable and nice, encouraged me, and you were my cheerleader during those years. He said, now I am a legal officer in the bank, not even in the loan department. And I think he saw they were going to reject the application for a loan, but he stepped in and says, I know these people. I know who they are, and they'll work hard, and they'll make it. And so through his encouragement, against poor banking practices, it just wouldn't work the way they had figured it in their business plan. They gave him the loan. And now I think we all know the Taste of Texas. That's a world-class restaurant. Now, what happened? Bread in the water. Other people at 24 who were manager of Steak and Ale, hey, boy, bring me that thing. Man, let's wash those dishes. Let's move out. And they would put down, not build up, not encourage, but the Hendys just threw bread out on the water. And years later, the whole success of their life came because that bread came back buttered in the form of a young man they hadn't seen since he was a busboy. You've lost fire in your belly? Try it. Cast some bread on the water. That's what Solomon says. And then he gives us another parable that is just as powerful and practical as that. Verse 2, divide your portion to the 7 or even to the 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on earth. What is he saying there? Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. That's what he's saying. You drop the basket, you lose all your eggs. What does that mean? It means diversify. Don't let one rejection or one broken heart destroy your life. I know a young woman who said, you know, I've never met my soulmate. I thought that I had, and I lost him, and oh, I'll never be happy for the rest of my life. The whole thing about soulmate is a myth, folks. It's a myth. It's not, I can only marry one person. Where do you get that in the Bible? Now, I believe in covenant marriage. Don't misunderstand and misinterpret this. But by the same token, just because this didn't work out, your life's not destroyed. I see teenagers, well, I didn't get accepted at college, therefore I don't even know if I want to go to school anymore. You see, there are a lot you have to divert. Don't put all your eggs in one basket and say, this must work for me or I'm going to be miserable. How foolish is that kind of thinking? Solomon's saying you want to keep fire in your life. If this door closes, God may open a window. If this window is raining, you can't go there, he may find you a backward way. In other words, believe in the providence of God. God's running this world, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody else is. Don't believe anything you read. And when you and I try to run the world, I try it once in a while and I quickly resign. The providence of God is working, so we don't put all of our eggs in one basket or one thing. By the way, that's what happened to the ship, the Titanic. In about 1912, this beautiful ship, most expensive ship ever made, on its maiden voyage, who's who was on board, and they advertised, this ship cannot be sunk. And they put all of their stock in the steel of the hull. How it was put together as a catacomb, and they had five different chambers that were airtight that gravitated 16 different steel chambers. And they said, if something would penetrate one of these airtight chambers, it would seal itself and the ship would still stay afloat. They put all their eggs in that kind of engineering, that kind of thinking. Therefore, they came to icebergs. They said, full steam ahead, this ship can't be sunk. And they ran to an iceberg. It pierced one of those airtight steel compartments in the hull. They said, well, the rest of them, they haven't been penetrated. But what they didn't know was when they pierced this, the water pressure and the power, they had steel horizontally around the ship. But when it pierced this, the water was forced with power and came down in the other areas of the ship vertically. And they went down to the bottom of the ocean. They put all their eggs in the basket of pride. We're invincible. We can't go down. What is Solomon saying? He says, cast your bread on the water. Watch what happens. Invest in life and people and things that make a difference. And then he says, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Then he comes and gives us another parable. And by the way, put these things in practice. Fire will come back in your life, purpose in your life. Verse 3 following, if the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth, and whether a tree falls. Now, what's he saying here, by the way, you're going to see, is don't put off to tomorrow what you can do today. He's saying, Nike, victory, do it now. And he says, and he moves on. South or toward the north, whether the tree falls where it lies, he who watches the wind will not sow. And he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Just as you do not know the path of the wind and how the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. What is he saying here? He is saying, if you want fire to come in your life, you have to understand and realize that you're not in control of all of this. You have to come to realize some very practical words of truth about life and where it comes from. And there's a capriciousness there. There's a unsteadiness there. And then he talks about in verse number 6, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, for you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed or whether both of them alike will be good. He's saying very simply here, that we just sow seed bountifully. We, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 said, just sow bountifully. If you sow bountifully, you may have a bountiful harvest. If you sow sparingly, not much is going to come up. So he's talking about the fundamental law of sowing and reaping. And we just delay. We say, well, it's not the right time for me to do that. We put this off. We put that off. We procrastinate it. Solomon said, do it now. What are you waiting for? Decide now. I read about a Georgia farmer, and he was in an old shack, and a car pulled up. A man asked for directions, and the farmer gave him directions, and the man said, well, how's your cotton crop coming? He said, I ain't planting no cotton this year. He said, why? He said, boll weevils. Okay. He said, tell me how your corn crop is doing. He said, I ain't planting no corn this year. He said, why? Well, they said, we're not going to have much rain. He said, what about your potatoes? He said, I didn't plant any potatoes. Why? Potato bugs. He said, what'd you plant? He said, I didn't plant anything. I'm playing it safe. Some people take their whole life and they play it safe. Some people have the idea, well, I can't decide about Christ. I can't decide about the church. Listen, there's never a perfect time for anything that we're trying to decide on.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. The book of Exodus chronicles the deliverance of God's people from 400 years of bondage in Egypt. But when Moses spoke to the people, they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Their Hebrew word translated as discouragement literally means short of breath. In other words, their bitter enslavement had left them worn out, depleted, beat down, and bottomed out. Does that sound familiar? Tough times can come through our lives and make us short of breath. What can we do when life's circumstances lead to discouragement? That's the question. Jesus invites us to come to him, and he will give us rest. So accept his invitation. He will help you catch your breath and carry your load.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you and helped you grow in your walk with Jesus. Before we let you go, we want to remind you about the exciting $75,000 year-end challenge grant that's been released to encourage you to help The Winning Walk finish 2023 on a strong footing. Your support is vital to ensure that together we can continue to help more people walk closer with Christ in the year ahead. So please call now to give, knowing your support will go twice as far when combined with a $75,000 challenge grant to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young reveals how you can have a life filled with passion, purpose, and fun.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.
Double Eagle Sawmill in Cocoa asks listeners to support our troops serving far from home this holiday season. Send them the hope of the Christmas spirit and the joy of the new year with a military care package today. Simply search military care package on the web and deploy the joy this holiday season. That's from veteran-owned and operated Double Eagle Sawmill. They provide custom milled live edge slabs for unique mantles, tables, benches, and more. Call 321-631-2361 for Double Eagle Sawmill in Cocoa.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM.
You will be the
Christian
perfect
voice
age
of our
all the flaws removed.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how our bodies will have changed when we meet Jesus in heaven.
It cannot wrinkle, it cannot decay, it will be a glorified body.
This This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. How and when it'll happen have been matters of debate since the beginning, but Jesus is coming back for His church. When He does, things are going to change, starting with us. Let's join Dr. Evans as he digs deep to help us understand the rapture of the church.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul gives detailed explanation for this event called the catching up or the rapture. He begins in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren." We don't want you not to understand this. We don't want you to be unclear about this. So Paul is saying, let me explain this to you. Don't be uninformed. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who've died or are asleep. Now the reason he has to say this is Jesus had promised to come back. So they're waiting for Jesus to come back. While they're waiting for Jesus to come back, some of their loved ones die who are Christians. And so they're concerned, well, wait a minute. If we're waiting for Jesus to come back and some of our folks have died, will they miss His return? Because they're not alive like we are. Well, that leads to another question. Suppose I die. Am I going to miss out on the rapture? Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed about that. So one of the reasons he discusses the rapture is to inform them about how this thing will work with folk who are already dead. Another reason, which you'll see later on in the scripture I'll give you, is because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 15. In other words, you can't go to heaven like you are now because that environment does not fit your makeup. Flesh and blood. In the same way, an astronaut cannot function on the moon without a spacesuit, because in his natural being, he cannot function in that environment. He would die. So it is, you can't function like you are in heaven as flesh and blood. So a change has got to occur. Another reason why this rapture is important is to remove you before all hell breaks loose on earth. He's going to come to retrieve His people before the wrath breaks loose. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. So at the point of the rapture, Jesus is going to leave heaven and there's going to be a shout. Get up. Or like Jesus told Lazarus in John chapter 11, He said, Lazarus, come forth. And with a loud voice, He called him out of the grave. Jesus is going to come and say, get up. Angels are going to come to collect. And the trump of God is going to come for the whole group to move forward. So those things will happen at the same time. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Because remember, the living won't precede the dead. The dead are going to precede the living because they're going to rise first. He talks about people, I love the end of verse 14, who fall asleep in Jesus. That's what he calls it. For dying as a Christian, falling asleep in Jesus. So the assumption is that you have accepted Christ. If that assumption is true, then when you die, you will fall asleep in Jesus. The picture here is of a mother rocking a baby until the baby falls asleep. You know what causes that rocking a lot of times? A frustrated baby. So the baby's crying, and the mother is rocking the baby, patting the baby. Maybe the baby is frustrated. And so it's rocking till it goes to sleep. Okay. So here's what God does for many of us. He lets this life become very uncomfortable. So we're crying. We're crying at the cancer. We're crying at the aneurysm. We're crying at whatever it is that's causing us pain. And he will let us cry so hard because we're so uncomfortable that then we begin saying, I'd rather he take me. Because when we get to the point where this life recedes and the life to come becomes bigger, then we're ready to go to sleep. See, some of us, we aren't ready to go sleep. So we're going to fuss because we ain't ready to go sleep yet. But if we're not ready and God is ready, he allows the discomfort to get worse until we are ready. So, he says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's rapture. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, now please notice where we're meeting the Lord. We're not meeting him on earth because it's not time for him to come to earth yet. That's a whole nother sequence in this chain of events we're going to be going through when he comes back to earth with us. By the way, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, so much here, but you have to understand, you are going to be living in two places, not one. Okay, and I know we talk about going to heaven when we die. Yeah, that's true, but that's just one of our two locations because we're going to be moving back and forth from heaven to earth. Okay, so there's a two location thing. So you need a body that can go in both places. You need to be able to play offense and defense. You need to be able to work both sides of the ball. You need to be able to hang out up there and be and chill down here. You got so a lot of your time is going to be spent on earth, not in heaven. Okay? So he says we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. All right? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's look at this just a little bit closer. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. A mystery is something not revealed in the Old Testament that is explained and revealed in the New Testament. They had no idea about this in the Old Testament. But now, he says, let me tell you something they didn't know about. I will tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. In other words, everybody's not going to die. If Jesus Christ comes back in the next 5 minutes, then we're all alive. So we're not all going to sleep. But we all will be changed. So everybody, dead and alive, are going to go through a metamorphosis like a butterfly emerging from a caterpillar. There will be a metamorphosis or a change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Okay, let me pause there. Let me talk about your twinkle. A twinkle is faster than a blink. A blink is eye opening and closing. A twinkle is a shift in the eye. It takes 1/15th of a second to twinkle. That is, to have an eye shift faster than a blink is approximately 1/15th of a second. You and I will be changed that quickly. It will be an instantaneous change. It won't be a casual development. It'll be instantaneous in a twinkling of an eye. He says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable will put on imperishable, and this mortal will put on immortality. Everything wrong with you will change. We go through great lengths to change. You ladies put on makeup. You buy clothes. You stitch in weaves. It's all about a change. It's all about improving the look. We buy clothes to improve the look. He says when God brings about the change at the rapture, this perishable. The older you get, the more perishing you feel. The aches, the pains, the arthritis, all the things that are wrong will be reversed. And you will put on a new set of clothes, that is, a new humanity that will be imperishable. It cannot be tampered with. It cannot wrinkle. It cannot decay. It will be a glorified body. Okay, well, I don't know about you, but I'd be interested to know what that body's going to be like. Okay? John says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, he says, when we see him at the rapture, we will be like him. Okay? We will be like him. Okay? So if I'm going to be like him, then I need to know what he's like so I'll know what I'll be like when I'm like him. All right?
And Dr. Evans will pick up on that thought when he returns in just a moment. Stay with us.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's a crucial mindset we need to successfully navigate our days.
The only way to survive life, particularly when it's doing you in, is to remember the sovereignty of God.
Society offers many reasons to abandon hope. But here at the Urban Alternative, we recognize God's in control and praise Him for His blessings. That's the foremost message of The Best of Tony Evans 2023, a 20-part sermon bundle from Dr. Evans featuring his most requested lessons from the year. Now, you can discover this powerful collection of messages for yourself, along with a copy of Tony's brand new devotional book, Transformed by the Trinity. They'll help you in your spiritual walk, drawing you closer to a personal relationship with your Creator.
God must be free to work in us before He can work for us.
Go to TonyEvans.org to get your copy of Transformed by the Trinity and The Best of Tony Evans 2023. That's TonyEvans.org.
In fact, the lesson you're hearing today is one of those 20 most requested messages of 2023. So be sure to visit us today at TonyEvans.org to make a year-end donation and request The Best of Tony Evans 2023, along with his new devotional book, Transformed by the Trinity. We'd like to send this collection to you as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Tony's ministry. Make your contribution online at TonyEvans.org today, or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that contact information for you again after part two of today's lesson. Here's Dr. Evans.
When Jesus rose from the dead with a glorified body, he was the same person who died. He says, this Jesus whom you've seen, they say, is coming back again. So you won't become somebody other than who you are. Because remember, it's your soul that's entering the body. So whoever you are is what you will be then. You will be the same race. You'll be the same gender. You'll be the same person, only perfected. So no sin, no sickness, no disease. You will be the perfect you you were created to be as an adult. You will be the perfect age, never to age, with all the flaws of you removed. Okay? So there will be perfect, glorified humanity. When Jesus rose from the dead, he was on the Emmaus Road in Luke 24 with the two disciples, and he broke bread with them, and then it says, bam, he disappeared out of their midst. When he left the two disciples on the Emmaus Road and went to meet with the other disciples, the scripture says the door was closed, but he walked through it. So we will be unencumbered by matter, which explains why Jesus could step on a cloud when he rose from the dead, because he was no longer limited by time and space and matter. Gravity could not hold him hostage anymore. What goes up must come down if you're in an earth suit. But if you're in a glorified body, gravity no longer holds you hostage, which is why you will be able to maneuver between heaven and earth in your new body. When Jesus met with his disciples, he ate with them. So your glorified body will be able to eat without you gaining weight. Because You will never exist in non-perfect humanity. You will never be out of shape. And yet you can enjoy eating. So this is a whole different realm coming at the return of Christ at the rapture. And this imperishable must put on immortality, and it will happen, he says, in the boom, twinkling of an eye. Quickly. The dead will be sucked out of the grave, new bodies, to meet their souls, redeemed souls. The souls will enter into the new bodies for their glorified existence. Transformation. It reminds me of the story of this old farmer who lived way out in the country, and he'd never been to a modern bank before because they just lived out there in the boondocks. And finally they decided to go to town to see all the new things that was happening, and they came to a bank. He'd never seen a bank building before, and in the bank building was this huge vault. He didn't know what it was, but he noticed something. He had his wife and son with him. His wife was looking at some of the other things, so he was standing with his son, and he noticed something. He noticed this old lady walk into the vault. And a split second later, he saw this young, beautiful woman come out the vault. He told his son, "Boy, go get your mama. It'll be a change, but it'll be you." The rapture is the next event on the calendar before God re-enters his program for Israel. He's going to remove us out before the wrath in order to recall his people. And so he ends in 1 Thessalonians by saying in verse 18, "We will be with the Lord, comfort one another with these words." If you hold a magnet to something that has iron fillings in it, it's going to suck those fillings to the magnet. Okay, you put a magnet near something that has iron fillings in it, it'll suck it to the magnet. When Jesus Christ comes back, his glory will suck up the dead in Christ. Those who have the Spirit of Christ in them, they will be sucked up in their new bodies to connect with their souls for their new glorified existence. So why should any of this matter? Number one, you should feel comfort to know when you're dead, you're not dead. You should feel just a little bit better that when you're dead, you really haven't died, because you've never been more alive than you are in that second, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and you ought to feel better and less fearful about death knowing that the thing you fear most is the thing you'll never experience. So it ought to make you just feel a little bit better about the uncertainty and the fear that comes with death. Secondly, it ought to make you want to witness, so that you don't have loved ones who are left behind. It ought to make you want to share the gospel to make sure on that great getting up morning, family and friends that you love and care about are sucked up in the rapture, seized in the rapture with you, and not left for the hell that's going to break loose on earth in the tribulation period. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, he says, "He that hath this hope purifies himself." He says, when you know this good news, it ought to affect how we live. It ought to affect how we live. If the president says, "I'm coming to your house, now I don't know when I'm going to get there, just be ready when I come." Knowing that he is coming should make you try to keep your house clean. Because the president could come in any moment, and I don't know when he's going to come, so if he shows up here, I don't want him showing up to a messed up house, so I'm going to keep the house clean. It ought to make you say, since I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but he wants me to be ready whenever he comes back, let me start straightening stuff up, cleaning stuff up, dealing with my sin, dealing with the things that are against God, because when he comes back, I don't want him to come to a dirty house. It ought to provoke that thought so that when we are going the wrong way, the Holy Spirit can stop up in our tracks by the statement, "What if he comes down?" He says it causes you to purify yourself.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a closing story. You know, the first step toward cleaning up your act that Tony was just talking about is making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you've never done that but are ready to do it now, Dr. Evans would be honored to help you begin your new journey. Just visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. There, Tony will explain everything you need to know about what being a real Christian is all about and how to start a brand new life. Now, if you'd like to review today's lesson on your own or share it with someone you care about, you can get the full-length version as a part of our special year-end compilation, The Best of Tony Evans 2023. As I mentioned earlier, all 20 messages in this collection are our gift to you when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And through this weekend, we'll also include a copy of his new devotional book, Transformed by the Trinity. Just drop by TonyEvans.org, where you can get all the details and make your donation online. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or you can call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help with your request. You know, when you order goods online, you often get to choose how fast you want them delivered. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain why that isn't the case when we pray, as he talks about how to wait for God's perfect timing. Right now, though, he's back with this closing story.
Marvin was a prankster in college. This guy was always creating stuff, mess. He was just like that. He was just creating stuff all the time. I wake up one morning, and nobody's in the dorm. I mean, nobody. I'm getting a little nervous, because the day before, we had just studied the rapture. And how the dead in Christ will be raised. And I'm waking up and I can't find a soul. And I know we all went to sleep that night, but I can't find nobody. Except Marvin. And I'm thinking, well, you don't count. Because I'm not sure you made it either. So, and they'd gone on some event or something that I didn't know about. But my point is, you don't want to miss this. You don't want to be left behind. You're only left behind having played church. You're only left behind having been religious. If you're here today and you don't know for certain that your sins have been forgiven and that you have received the gift of life, you got two things that could happen. You could die, or the rapture could occur. Either one are bad news for you. So if I were you, I would run to the cross, where God opens up his hands and says, whosoever will, let him come and drink from the water of life freely. He offers eternal life to every man, every woman, every young person who comes to the cross as a sinner, recognizing they need a savior, and trusting Christ as their sin bearer for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Don't let another day go by. And for those who are already saved, if God never blesses you with a new house, another new car, more clothes, better job, bigger bank account, all that's fine. But if he never gives you anything else, you have a reason to praise him for your future that he has planned for you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.